That's a pretty good story. That's all the stories we got for today. Maybe we'll do near-death story time. You can do that in your small group. You can all share that. I have my own. I will concede that I cannot beat the shell story from the back with the fractured skull. But here's mine. Everybody, the closest, if you haven't had a near-death experience, the closest you're going to get to death is the first time your parents let you take a road trip when you can drive and it's just you and your friends and no parents. Hands down, every leader, I guarantee you, has a road trip I almost died experience. And this is mine. My senior year, we get to take the senior trip. And the senior trip is like, this is the trip. You go on with your friends, and there's no parents, and you can do whatever you want. And my friends and I decided we were in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, which is kind of the northeast part of Oklahoma. Yeah, go Bartlesville. We decided we were going to drive to Los Angeles, California. All right? It's a 24-hour drive to get there and 24 hours back. And so we set off on the great adventure, the great journey of our young lives, all right? At some point in your life, you're going to get to go on a journey or on an adventure with no adult supervision, and you're going to be able to do whatever you want. And there are so many stupid stories I have from that trip. One of my favorites was that we went to be on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. It's the late night talk show deal. And we painted Leno on our chests, and we had our shirts off the whole time. And we got on TV with our shirts off. And we just did stupid stuff like that all week long. And we had a blast in L.A., and nothing bad happened. Except for we got like something stolen. But other than that, we were cool and we stole some stuff. But no, just kidding, we didn't do that. But on the way back from LA, we're driving back, 24-hour road trip, we're somewhere in New Mexico, I'm driving, I'm listening to George Strait. George Strait fans, anybody in the house? I'm carrying your love with me, West Virginia. And he's so soothing and so sweet, something happened. And next thing I know,
did you throw blood?
I did not throw a blood, not yet. Next thing I know, there were all these guys with guns, and my dad said, "He's got a gun!" No, that's not what happened. I'm driving down a road just like this, and I've got my friend next to me asleep, and my friend in the back seat asleep. Next thing I know, I feel an unfamiliar rumbling underneath the car, and I open my eyes because somehow they had gotten closed, and we are in the median, going over some rocks and gravel, and we're running over little those little reflector, you know, the little poles that have little reflectors. Boom, boom, and I'm like, this is not good. We're on cruise control, and we're going off the road, all right? We're going into the median, into rocks, and I'm thinking 75 miles an hour or 85, whatever. This is not good. And so I think, what should I do? Jerk the wheel back onto the road, right? So we're going off the road. I jerk the wheel. We turn sideways, and we're just sliding down the road sideways. I'm in a 1987 Honda Accord. Luckily, it's like a tank, so we're okay. And we hit one of the deals going sideways. We hit like a road sign going sideways, and then we spin all the way around. And we do a complete 360, and then we end up, we don't hit any other cars, but we end up sideways like this, if you look at the road, sideways across the road, a little bit in the right-hand lane, mostly blocking the right-hand lane. So we spin around, I don't know what's going to happen, and we stop in the middle of the road, sideways. And I'm like, yes. And then I look out my window, and there's a semi coming right for us. And he is coming for us, and I can tell he's starting to try to go towards the middle of the road to go around us, but he is a huge semi and he is close. So I'm like, if I put on the gas and drive forward, he's going that way. He'll probably hit us. If I stay here, he's going to clip us and we could blow up. And so I throw the car in reverse, slam on the gas, and we drive backwards off the road, and the semi just misses us. And we lived. But we almost died. And I was so scared, and I didn't poop my pants, and I didn't throw up blood. I didn't go in the hospital. So see, my story wasn't as good as his, but that is my closest to death that I've ever been, right? And I was on the road, and I went off the road. I lost focus on the road where I was going. I swerved. I lost control, and I nearly lost everything. I nearly lost everything. I learned two important things about driving and road trips. Two real basic things. Number one is when you're driving, you have to be awake. All right? That's important. It really is. And you'd think I'd learned my lesson, but I've fallen asleep twice since then driving. And then the second thing that I learned is you have to stay actually on the road. So even though I woke up at some point, I fell asleep, but I woke up, I was off the road. I had swerved. And you have to be on the road in order to have a successful road trip. And here's what I want to tell you guys this morning is your life right now, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, your spiritual life, okay, your walk with God, your relationship with Jesus, if you know him really well or if you don't know him at all, the spiritual part of you is a lot like that senior trip that I took with my friends. And here's why. On that senior trip, we were all on our own, right? We didn't have any adults with us. We didn't have any parents telling us what to do. And there is a part of your life that no matter how much your parents can control, you know, what you eat or when you study or what time you go to bed or how late you can stay out, all this stuff your parents can try to control in your life, right? There's one thing that no one can control but you, and that's your heart and what goes on in your heart. So just like this adventure and this journey that I was on with my friends was something really exciting because it was just us out on our own, your spiritual journey, your walk in relationship with God is something that it's just up to you to accomplish. And you were on this journey. Now, I had friends with me, and you've got friends that are walking with you, but it's your heart that's on this road. And I think, like my story, it's so easy. It is so easy for us to lose focus, to become unalert, to get distracted from the journey that we're on, and it's so easy to swerve off the path and off the road that we want to be on and the direction we want to be going. It's so easy to find ourselves to all of a sudden be startled awake. And I want you to wake up this morning, listen to me and look at me. Wake up this morning. Where are you on the road? It's your journey. No one else is in charge of it but you. Where are you this morning on your spiritual journey, and do you need to get back on the road again? On the road again. I can't wait to get back on the road again. Sing it with me. But do you need to get back on the road on your journey? Have you fallen asleep? Have you lost your focus? Have you swerved? Because here's what God's word says, that there is a very clear path. There is a road that God wants you to take. This is one of the hardest scriptures for me when I was younger. When I was your age and in high school, I would look at this verse and it would just really throw me into a little bit of a disturbed state when it came to my spiritual life. Look at this from Matthew 7, 13 through 14. It's just this little paragraph in this big sermon that Jesus gives, but it just kind of sticks out. And Jesus says this to all the people that's listening to him. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few will find it." Now, I remember I read that verse, and I still read that verse now, and I go, okay, Jesus is saying there is a road that I need to be on in my journey towards God, and it is very narrow. And only a few people are going to be on it. But there's this really wide road that is destruction, right? So if I go off the highway when I'm on my road trip and I try to drive in a wider road than the pavement, it's going to lead to destruction eventually, isn't it? I survived once, but if I keep driving off in that median, eventually I'm going to be on the news, right? This verse says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. What road are you on? Would you say, I'm on a narrow road that only a few people are on, and I am charging towards God? Or would you go, you know what, I'm probably on a broad road right now with everyone else that's leading to destruction. I've swerved off the road in my journey. I've fallen asleep. I've lost my focus. Where are you right now? Let me just show you a few other verses that kind of work with this theme of getting back on the road. Put up the verse from 1 Peter 5:8. This verse tells us not to fall asleep, that we always have to be alert. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You have an enemy out there, right? God has an enemy that wants you off the road, and you have to be alert and focused all the time. When you're driving, even if you want to take a 10-minute nap, you can't take any naps when you're driving. You always have to be alert when you're driving. Even a short nap you can't take. In your walk with God, you cannot take a break, guys. You cannot nap. You cannot take a break and just go, oh, I'm just going to call it quits for a little bit. This verse tells us we have to be alert all the time, or else we're going to swerve off and find ourselves on a road that leads to destruction. Look at what Proverbs says in chapter 4, verse 25 through 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. When you're driving, you got to watch the road. You all have been riding with probably your moms, because women are worse drivers than men. Anyways, where you're like, Mom, look at the road. Or your mom's doing, running a stop sign. Have you guys ever been in a car with a parent where you've been like, hey, we're about to die here. You've got to look straight ahead and fix your gaze before you. Look at what verse 26 says. Make level the paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Look at this. In your spiritual walk with God, in your journey towards God, whether you're close to him or far from him, don't swerve to the right or the left, but you got to keep your foot from evil. But it's so easy to get distracted, to not be alert, and to swerve off that path. Where are you? Here's my question. If you'll go back to the Matthew verses, here's a question that I always had. I always would read this verse, and I would say this. Everybody listen. Guys in the back, pay attention. I want to be on the narrow road. But my problem was this. What does that mean? Like, what? How do I know if I'm on the road or off the road? Because when you're driving, it's easy. And whoever's laying down back there, sit up and listen. When you're driving down the highway, you know when you're on the road or off the road, because it starts rumbling and feeling weird. But when you're walking in your spiritual walk, how do you know if you're on that narrow road or not? How do you know? That was a question that just racked me, because I did not want to be on a road that led to destruction. I want to be on the small road. I want to be on the road that leads to life. But how do I know if I'm on it? I'm going to tell you this morning real simply how you can know exactly whether or not you're on the narrow road or whether you're on the wide road. And it's this. It's the same way the disciples knew if they were on the right path. You guys have heard of Jesus had 12 disciples. Look at what happened when Jesus called his disciples to follow him from Matthew 4, 18 through 22. So Jesus is walking along beside the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And these guys are fishermen and they're fishing, right? They're casting nets into the lake. And Jesus says this, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. And from that point on, those disciples left everything that was distracting them, everything that was causing them to swerve off a path towards God, and they just looked at Jesus and they followed him wherever he went. It says at once they left their nets, they left their homes, they left their jobs, they left wherever it was, and they followed Jesus. And here's the message this morning. If you want to know whether or not you're on the narrow road, all you have to do is ask yourself one simple question. Am I following Jesus? Is he right in front of me? Every step I take is a step in his own footsteps, following where he's leading me. And if you can't answer that question, then you need to have a wake-up call this morning and realize, wait a second, I need to be snapped awake, because I'm drifting off the road and I'm not on the road God wants me to be on if I'm not following Jesus step by step. And here's what some of you need to do. Some of you guys have things that are holding you back. Some of you guys have things that are hindering you that you need to abandon and you need to leave behind. You've swerved and you're going in a direction. You go, I don't need to go this direction anymore. I need to follow Jesus. I have distractions in my life. I have all these things and I want to be on the narrow road, and I've got to start following Jesus this morning. So if you've never followed Christ before, this morning is your chance to go, I want to be on the narrow road that leads to life, and I want to follow Jesus. Because Jesus didn't just call those 12 guys. He put that in the Bible because he calls you and he calls me and every one of us who reads it. And he says, come, follow me. Come, follow me. So wherever you are, whether or not you've been trying to follow him for 10 years, whether you're just hearing about Jesus for the first time today, the call is the same. It's to come follow me. A lot of you guys know that my son's name is Chapman. Are they here? Did they pop in? Somebody said they saw Allie and Chapman here. Maybe they're not. They're outside. My son's name is Chapman, and I named him after one of my favorite artists named Stephen Curtis Chapman. Has anybody ever heard of Stephen Curtis Chapman? Okay? He sings like some of my favorite songs. He was the first CD that I ever got when I was younger. It was the kind of first CD. It was called The Great Adventure. And ever since then, I've gotten every CD he has. I listen to every song. I read all the lyrics. And I just kind of love the poetry he puts together and the music he puts it to. It's just my favorite. And one of my favorite songs of his is called For the Sake of the Call. And it's about this passage of scripture when Jesus calls these disciples. And the chorus says, "We will abandon it all for the sake of the call." And I want to play this song that's really special to me. I want to play this song for you. And hopefully this morning, and go home and download it on iTunes, but hopefully this song will be special to you too. Because I want to give you a second to read the lyrics and listen to the song and think about this. What do I need to abandon to get back on the right path? What do I need to give up in order to follow Jesus? Because I don't want you to have the near-death experience that I almost had spiritually. I don't want you to find yourself lost and on a road that leads to destruction. I want you to find life. So we're going to turn down the lights, play this song, read the lyrics, and I want you to think in your head, God, what do you want me to abandon for the sake of the call that you have for me to follow you? When I was driving on my way back from California, George Strait put me to sleep, and it almost killed me. It did. What has put you to sleep? Is it the song that your friends are singing to you of saying, hey, be like this, be like us, do these things? Is it some TV show that you're just wrapped up in? Is it a certain type of music that you're just, you know, listening to so much and it has just put you to sleep spiritually? Is it a pressure to perform in a sport or in school? What are the things that have just put you to sleep spiritually? And what do you need to respond with reckless abandon to is the call of Jesus Christ. I love that line where it says, with reckless abandon they came. They were reckless. They left their whole lives. And there are some things that I think we all could leave behind in order to respond to the call to follow Jesus. This is just a wake-up call this morning, guys. It's just a heart check. It's a spiritual checkup. Where are you on your journey? Because it's only you. No one's going to tell you what to do or where to go. You're driving this road. I hope you get to your small groups this week and you can have a great discussion about this. Let me pray for you guys.